With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore at the office of Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll. Madam Mayor, it's the middle of summer. It's the beginning of silly season. How are you doing?
We're great. There's nothing better than summer in New England.
Yes, ma'am. That's for sure. Well, let's get right to it. I want to start from the outermost fringes up into outer space somewhere and bring it back down to Salem. And I want to start with what's going in Washington, not what might you think, but I was hearing something about the Attorney General is cracking down on, and I'll put this in quotes, sanctuary cities, unquotes, in terms of withholding federal funds from those cities. And again, I'm very ignorant of all the terms and statuses and so on. But what is the status with respect to Salem? Is that going to affect Salem in any way in terms of federal funds?
Yeah, sure. So in Salem, we adopted a Sanctuary for Peace ordinance. I call it sanctuary city-like. There really isn't one universal definition of what a sanctuary city is. There's many different versions and methodologies that communities have adopted. In our case, since Attorney General Sessions has clarified what his definition of a sanctuary city is, it's pretty clear that our adoption of a Sanctuary for Peace ordinance, which I should say is being challenged and there'll be a ballot question on it this November, a group of residents decided they wanted to put that measure on the ballot, and if it's adopted by a majority, it will be approved. If not, it will be repealed. But our definition of a Sanctuary for Peace ordinance essentially wants to give our local immigrant community confidence that they can call the local police and rely on local services. It doesn't go as far as some other communities who have said they are not going to cooperate with federal officials. And so, since our adoption, Attorney General Sessions has clarified the definition of a sanctuary city. Salem does not meet that with the Sanctuary for Peace ordinance. We also know just earlier this week, the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruled that Massachusetts court officials and local police cannot detain immigrants who are here with unauthorized and hold them for ICE. Essentially, they cannot perform the duties of federal immigration officials. So that even further, sets in motion how distant our ordinance is from jeopardizing any federal funding.
Okay. I haven't seen anything in the papers recently about the emotional upheaval around the topic, especially in Lynn and Salem and the communities. What's your basic feeling as to how this thing is right now in terms of the political excitedness of it or personal feelings among people? Because I know Salem, there was some heated discussion at one point.
There were a number of forums that were held. There was a lengthy public hearing before the council adopted this, and there were a group of residents who felt strongly either opposed to it or at least that people should have a say on it who live in the community. It's been a little quiet, I would say, since then. It's not unusual. The summertime, everyone tends to hopefully enjoy family and opportunity to get out and in the sun and the parks and the beaches. But I think this fall we'll certainly hear from folks again, and it'll be a great opportunity for our community to weigh in on, what type of values we have here. And frankly, this is really about a federal immigration laws that are broken right now. We have lots of blended families here, lots of folks who came and are here seeking a better life for themselves or their family who are good law-abiding citizens or community members, I guess I should say. And I don't know that we want our local police, in the mix of eradicating, detaining, or causing fear in the lives of those individuals. I'm not sure we want our federal immigration officials doing that. That's not my say. Ideally, it'd be great to have a federal reform around federal immigration laws. If you are here and you are unauthorized, right now there is no way for you to get paperwork to stay. Mm-hmm. And so that means you only have an option of going back to, a place that you may not know, that you may be fearful about living in. You've got family and roots here now. So, devising a system to authorize, law-abiding good people who want to work and want to contribute to our country seems to me to be, the path we should be on, not trying to create hatred and fear of folks who, for the most part, are just trying to work hard and provide for their family.
We'll see what the next chapter is. And I just thought of something, too. I ain't Charlie Rose because I'm going to ask a question way off topic. Have you been to the Peabody Essex Museum display of this?
Amazing. Every time, I actually, when I heard about that initially, I was like, this will be interesting, but it wasn't something that I was as enthusiastic about as I am about others. Then I heard Dan Finnemore, the curator of the exhibit, talk about what they had and the unique items and the size and scale and from, just these stories around them, and that really piqued my curiosity. And then I saw it and I was like, they did it again. something that you thought was going to be maybe something to see but not extraordinary turns out to be extraordinary.
So you recommend visiting?
Oh, totally. I thought it was great. I really did.
Okay, good. I just thought of that because I saw an ad on it. I said, wow, I got to ask the mayor about that because it looked fascinating the way they had the commercial.
Go.
Okay, I will. All right, let's bring it down to the state level. State budget, what's the effect on Salem?
Yeah, I think that our local aid the last few years has gone down. We're working with Rep. Tucker and Senator Lovely to try and address it. Most of it's about the funding formula for charter schools, which impact us in a way that sees more aid going out the door because the state isn't fully funding charter school reimbursements. Overall, we're planning for it. We balanced our budget. We typically have been able to rely on a combination of new growth to try and, keep taxes as low as possible while also providing for the services that residents want. I haven't seen the latest iteration with, whatever vetoes are coming out of the administration and how if there are any earmarks or special dollars that we are going to lose. But the basic local aid package for us, continues to be a challenge with some of the charter school reimbursement funding.
What was the best part of the city budget?
For us, being able to invest in additional police officers, public works, and we are really, I think, making a strong community commitment to improving our schools. We have four schools that now have expanded learning time. We're offering free breakfast and lunch in our schools. We're concentrating on also wanting to get more teacher voice and teacher leadership opportunities, leading professional development, leading different opportunities within their own schools so that we're creating a pipeline as, our administrators leave, that we have teachers who we know we can elevate. So I'm excited about the progress in schools, but it takes resources. It just doesn't happen without making sure we're able to adequately fund important aspects of what happens in that school day. And right now, even looking outside of it.
It's been a long process, but it's been a steady process of improvement. And I go back a few years ago when there was some trouble with one of the schools and so on, and that's all in the past now.
Bentley was a level 4 school. It's now a level 1 school. But I think we've even evolved from that, those are state designations, and they're important, just like standardized test scores are important. But as a community, we've really been working around a strategic plan that has us setting our values for our schools. What's our expectation for what our kids are going to need to know when they graduate, and how do we achieve that? And it's really not just about what's happening 8 to 3. Education's a community mission. Schools play one part of that, an important part. But there's a whole array of partners in our community that we braid in services and opportunities and enrichment activities to make sure that our kids are getting what they need to be successful.
Okay, let's go to the next topic. the railroad reconstruction, reconfiguration, whatever you call it, what's it doing to the commute in Salem?
It's messing up traffic, technically. I guess that's a technical term.
That's a technical term.
So, there's no train service north of Salem as the MBTA is working on the Beverly-Salem Bridge. On the weekends, there are no train service at all on the entire line because they're working on something called positive train control, a federal mandate. All of these things are ultimately good projects for our transportation system, but when you're going through it, it's a huge pain in the neck. So we're really struggling with traffic issues in the afternoon in particular when I think all of the trains are dead-ending here and people are getting picked up. There's shuttle buses coming in, so the extra traffic on the main corridor in is making it really difficult to navigate during the afternoon commuting hours. Good news is at least we don't have school in. Salem State's not in, so this work will be done by the time those two activities come back in together in the fall. So we are just wanting it to be over, honestly. It's definitely had an impact. And for commuters, by the way, as well. So we're talking about people on the ground here, but I'm sure it's upheaval for people who need the train every day to go to work.
Has that put any kind of a strain on safety, on fire, and police?
So we definitely have more police officers out helping try and pull through traffic at some of these intersections. We're just running out of real estate, and so that we're seeing some gridlock in the afternoons, even with the assistance of, not using the lights to time things and just getting the flow through. Mm-hmm. I think, the other aspects of public safety haven't been, necessarily taxed yet, but mostly police. It's a really busy time with all the construction activity we have going on, so there are 30, sometimes 31 details a day.
Oh,
in
wow.
Salem.
Yeah.
So that's, that's some of them are hard to fill given, the amount of work happening.
So. All right, then I got to hurry speed this up so I can get out of town.
All right.
Okay, finally I mentioned silly season, and I say that with tongue in cheek, but the election season on the North Shore, local elections, are from a viewer's standpoint, from an observer's standpoint, kind of fun. You get some real characters, you get some very serious people, you get some serious topics, and this is not your first rodeo, so tell me a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an election year for us. There'll be an election this fall for mayor and city council. We've got an active citizenry. There's a couple of open races that have attracted, you know, lots of candidates. And then there's an at-large race that will have a primary as well. So we're excited about it. I mean, the thing about elections that I enjoy is that you have a chance to really focus on, okay, what have we done and what do we want to do, and be able to communicate with voters. So I'm out knocking on doors, talking with people on their front stoops and their kitchens about things that matter to them. I love it. I love talking about Salem. It's a great city. And, you know, hearing from people about what they like, sometimes hearing from them about what they don't like, is a really important part of my job.
That would be a hard thing for me to go out and meet people in that fashion. But I imagine you learn some things.
All the time. People are so honest to you when you're, you know, speaking with them one-on-one or in small group settings at their doors. And I think, you know, I learned that 11 years ago when I ran for office as somebody who nobody knew, who wasn't from here, who didn't have a lot of money. And now 11 years later, definitely a little bit more well-known, and also a chance for folks to weigh in on what they like about the direction the city's heading in, areas of concern. And it's super helpful. I mean, I get lots of feedback, whether it's email or snail mail or social media or phone calls, but sitting on someone's front porch, you know, you can't beat it.
Okay. All right, I don't know when Jen has me scheduled to come back. Anything else you want to mention?
You know, I would like to mention one new organization that's in town called Root. I was just with them last night for a dinner. Root is a nonprofit that's working with opportunity youth. This would be youth that's graduated from high school but really not sure what they want to do, to teach them food training skills. So they have a whole program set up, a 12-week certification where you learn how to cook, you learn front of the house, back of the house, they operate a restaurant. The goal would be you have a mentor, soft skills, that these students gain a skill that's definitely needed in our city and I think across the North Shore with the restaurant boom. It's a big industry in need of employment. But also you have a chance to get some direction, some focus on what for a young person who may not have a support system around them or just may not be sure, ready to take on college, you know, get somebody trained, get them some soft skills, and help them on their way. So enjoyed being with those folks last night and looking forward to them being a player in our community.
Excellent. That's Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll. I'm Rick Moore. This is MSO News Sports.